It's a 1 meter long worm that is one of the nastiest parasites humankind has met. You get infected from water contaminated with this worm. It lives inside your body. You have no idea that you're actually infected until about 1 year later, when this worm emerges from your body and creates a painful blister and subsequent lesion and can debilitate you even months at a time. You can't walk around. You're not able to go to your farm, go to school. So it not only impacts individuals and their ability to live a free life, but also can impact the household, but also their community, as they're not able to provide for one another.
I've seen photographs of guinea worms being pulled out of nipples and many other excruciating intimate parts of the body. It's been compared to the pain of childbirth and worse.
Yes, one of our great friends in South Sudan has said that childbirth, while painful, has a start and a stop, whereas guinea worm is an unrelenting pain, and very stoic men will shed more than a few tears as guinea worm is extracted from their body. And this is something that people should fear.
I understand that animals can also get infected with guinea worm.
Over the last few years, we have seen domestic dogs mostly, but also a few baboons become infected with guinea worm. And not only is guinea worm transmitted through drinking infected water, but also through mostly small fish, whereby if you eat those fish without properly cooking or curing them, you may also become infected with guinea worm. So although it's added an additional layer of complexity in this last mile effort to eradicate guinea worm, it's also reinforced our partnership in making sure that that information is well understood at the community and individual level for action.
And yet the number of guinea worm cases has been in stark decline since 1986, when the Carter Center first set out to eradicate this horror.
Yeah, there were 3.5 million people annually suffering from guinea worm disease. And so you can imagine the economic toll that that took, particularly in some of the heaviest hit countries like Nigeria and Ghana, where entire communities would be down with guinea worm and they would not be able to farm food for the next year. In Mali, guinea worm became known as the disease of the empty granary because they weren't able to have food the next year if they had guinea worm. And so across more than 21 countries, primarily in sub-Saharan Africa, but also a few countries in the Middle East and in Asia, that has been dwindled down. Only 6 countries reported infections last year, and only 27 people had guinea worm in this very difficult endgame.
How does that feel?
It feels great. However, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. The end game is eradication, which means complete extinction of the parasite as quickly as possible.
There are so many kinds of stakeholders involved.
All the more reason to take a multifaceted, multisectoral approach to the engagement process, both at the individual level, knowing that there are people you need to connect with one-on-one, really understand their challenges, and still at the same time look at it from a community perspective and help them to see the value of that for their community. They are the backbone of implementing surveillance, which is the active looking every day for guinea worm. And despite the pandemic, they've been able to continue to operate, and we've been able to be creative to ensure that they get the backstop support, both local and otherwise, to continue to carry out their work day to day. And understanding that this is actually a global effort, and it's important that we remind each other that we're all interconnected in this, and my fellow human's plight is my plight. And so if we don't work together, we're not going to be able to achieve what we're looking for.